welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Now, I think that stuff like, as you heard me earlier, like Alexandra Burke, give us real opportunities to talk about the real Jesus and the fact that he's a God of grace, a God of mercy. You know, and what is so amazing sometimes is how upset Christians can get by stuff. You know, when actually everything is an opportunity. You know, there's the great atheist campaign happening down in London at the moment where they paid for, because they got fed up with Alpha having so many posters and stuff, they decided to do their own campaign. And so they came up with this great slogan, which is all on the side of buses now, and it says, "There is probably no God." Well, actually, there probably is. That's the trouble with the atheist position. Even if you're 99% certain, you can never be sure. It's a bit like, you know, you can't be, if you're looking for a pair of socks in the drawer and you can only find one red one, there's probably another red sock in the drawer. You can't categorically say there is not another one, the washing machine has eaten it. It probably is there somewhere. You know, and sometimes God's a bit like that. He probably is there somewhere. Or at least it feels like that to many, many people. And opportunities like Sing Hallelujah are just one of those. And another one is the Vicar of Dibley. That gets some people upset as well. But, you know, I mean, I hate the way it portrays Christianity. But if that's how the world sees it, let's rejoice with them that they find it funny and then talk about, well, do you know what's different now? You know what it's really like? Have you ever thought about coming? And God gives us these opportunities, you know, because God has called us to be revolutionaries. That was the message a couple of weeks ago that I was talking about. Do you remember I was talking about great revolutionaries of the past, like Latimer and Cranmer and Ridley and what was the other guy's name? Gilpin, as in Dave, but his name was Bernard. Bernard Gilpin was the guy that used to say, all things work together for the good of those who love him. And on his way down to be executed, the soldiers treated him so badly they broke his leg. And they were mocking him, saying, "Ah, see, just let God make that good for you. You've broken your leg now." But the great thing was they got delayed on the journey down to the Tower of London where he was to be executed. And the day they got there for the execution, because of the delay, Queen Mary was no longer queen, but Elizabeth was on the throne, and he was set free. So I guess he turned around and said, "See?" Nah. No, he probably didn't, because he was a man of God, but, you know. Hallelujah. So great heroes of the past. You know, but what did they want to do? They wanted to take Christianity, the religion that they had, the relationship they had, they wanted to take it and they wanted to make it presentable to the people. They wanted to present what they believed to the people in a way they could understand it. They wanted to take religion, in the good sense, out of the hands of the priests and give it to the people. That was the whole Protestant revolution. That's what it was about. They wanted to take the services and make them understandable. They wanted to take them out of Latin and put them in a modern, for the 16th century, culture. Mm-hmm. As in, let's speak English, shall we? You know? But today, sometimes in church, we speak a kind of church language, and there's a challenge always to, you know, get contemporary and speak with contemporary language. When the Bible was written down in King James time, it was written in the everyday English of the day. It was a marvellous, revolutionary book. You know, when you get hold of an old 1611 copy or whatever it is, I think it's about that, have a look at it and sort of think, this book changed our nation. Because for the first time, ordinary people, well, those that could read, could get their Bible and understand the word. And they didn't have to just take somebody's word for it. Jesus is about, following Jesus is about making him known. You know? So Alexandra Burke, she's a big plus for us. She's up there singing that song and singing it for Christmas. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you another clip from something else in a minute that I bet many of you might even be offended about. I don't know. You're all pretty loose and hanging cool. We're going to show you another one in a minute that's a total mockery of the Nativity. But I think it's funny. And it's a great opportunity, again, to talk to people about God when it's shown. I bet you it's on Christmas again sometime. We'll show it in a minute, but not just yet. So you've got the 16th century reformers God was talking about. God's talked to us about Jesus the outrageous hero or Jesus the revolutionary. What did he do? Very interesting. He was taking religion out of the hands of the priest and putting it into the hands of the people. He was taking the relationship just for the priests, the holy ones, and saying, "I will be your friend if you do what I say. Now come follow me, everyone." And he spoke in the everyday language of the time. He spoke in Aramaic, which was translated into coarse, crude Greek. At the time, sometime later, when early Bible scholars, they thought that the Greek that the New Testament was written in was some kind of special holy language, because it wasn't like most other Greek documents of the time. In fact, what had happened was they hadn't written it in the posh Greek, the sort of, you know, nice Greek that everybody... They took it and wrote it in the common, ordinary, everyday language, because they knew God was there for the ordinary person. Yeah? That's how he was a revolutionary. If God has called us to be revolutionaries, it's in the same way. Let's have a look at this clip for a bit of fun. Hallelujah. And see if you're offended or whether you can see opportunities to make Jesus known. Hallelujah. Well, it doesn't sound like too many of you were offended. Hallelujah. But again, it's just all these sort of things that we on over Christmas, you know, and it's just... When you get chatting with people, it can be just a great opportunity to talk about, well, the real nativity. You know, why wasn't he in a proper bed, you know? Why did he end up in a manger, you know, with straw and everything else? Anyway, praise God. So let's get back to the message of this morning, which is about the revolutionaries, taking hold of contemporary culture, taking hold of the way people live, and using that to make Jesus known. So what has God told us in these past couple of months then? Let's run through a list. Are you ready? God has given us these messages to help us live, if you like, as revolutionaries. Yep. One was to add to your faith, or to your faith add virtue, add the power. What God was saying, and I believe he's saying it very much for 2009, is we've seen, you know, an explosion of miracles here in this congregation. There's people sitting here this morning who've had miraculous healings. As I look around the room, I can see people whose lives God has changed. Amen? You know, that is amazing. But out of that, God is saying, well, now add virtue, now add my power, now see even more. You know, just because we don't have every week people coming forward for prayer and laying on of hands, what I try and do is we listen to what the Holy Spirit says, and we do what he says. So sometimes there's an opportunity for that. Other times he just wants people ministered to where you are. And other times, because they've been listening to Mr. Bean, you've had an opportunity to pray for them and they're healed before they get here. Hallelujah. Not really the gospel according to Mr. Bean. One of the most awesome things he said, he highlighted over a few 9 o'clock God Encounter Sundays, was the whole thing about Kingdom Faith Church Yorkshire being a gateway to heaven. Do you remember? The stairway to heaven, the ladder of Jacob. Again, you see, God spoke to me in a weird way about that. The first thing I knew was I was whistling the song, and she's buying the stairway, whatever, to heaven, which is Led Zeppelin, which are not the most godly of bunch of musicians ever. And in fact, there's a load of controversy over that song, you know, about satanic lyrics recorded backwards on it and stuff like that. But, you know, if you turn a lot of lyrics around backwards, you could make them say stuff. But anyway, whatever. It came out of a drug culture. But suddenly, as I was thinking about that song, God said, well, what about the stairway to heaven that's in the Bible, Jacob's ladder? And came a whole word as he just spoke to me. And so God used something contemporary to open up the scripture to get me thinking about something, and then saying, and this is for you now. I'm talking about angels ascending and descending. Do you remember? This is a time when you're praying. Angels, if you like, are taking prayers into heavenly places. They're coming back with the answers to those prayers. They're not replacing the Holy Spirit. Don't think I'm saying that in any way. But there is definitely an element of the angelic in what is happening in our nation, and certainly in Scarborough and in Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. You know, Christians, many more Christians are always willing to talk about what the demonic are doing. But the angelic outnumber the demonic by 2/3 to 1 anyway. Hallelujah. So sometimes we can talk about what the angels are doing, as long as the glory goes to God. Then God said to us all, don't come to church. Don't come to this church. If you haven't heard that message before, don't come to this church. Hallelujah. He told us to be the church. These are days of living it out. It's not about coming to church. It's not about going to a midweek meeting. It's about living the church every day of the week, every hour of the week, every second of the week. And God has emphasized from the very beginning of the need for us to be in one another's homes. People often ask me, why don't you celebrate communion on Sunday morning? Because God told me that there was to be an emphasis that the bread and the wine was to be shared in our homes. He wanted to bring back that idea that you don't need the priest, you don't need the pastor. It's just the people gathering together can share the bread and the wine together and remember the Lord Jesus together, just like the early church did. That doesn't mean we won't ever do it on a Sunday morning, but it's like God has put that emphasis. This is to be done amongst yourselves. Because the church being the church is just that. It's us in one another's homes. It's inviting others into our homes. It's sharing meals together. It's learning to relate together, to be friends. You know? Don't look so worried. It's quite good being friends. And that's what God has been doing. And we've been very blessed, you know. God brought to us some very key families as well that have really helped us. You know, let's give honour where honour is due to people like Brian and Shona and Chris and Claire and Mark and Judith who've come and, you know, they're just the church. They're just part of this church. And yet, in some ways, they've only just arrived. And yet, God has great. They've been a tremendous gift from God to us as a body. Yeah. Hallelujah. And we honour them for, you know, obeying God and moving and doing what God said. That's not to say there aren't tremendous gifts already here within the body. It's just that, yeah, you're right, they're much better than you. Hallelujah. But could go around the room, couldn't I? And you could start talking about every single person in the room about what their gifting are and what they bring to the church. You've got somebody like Tony who's a tremendous heart for people. Desperate, so desperate to reach out and make Jesus known that sometimes it just sends her in a tearful mess. You know, that's a brilliant gift. You know, it's great to have Josh, who's come recently from the university, and he's blessed us on a couple of times with his guitar playing skills, and it's just great to have him here. Yeah, and the mince pie crew. If you brought your mince pies for them, there's a space on the table out there. There's lots of people. Just Joanne, who's recently joined us, has come up as one of, you know, she's been such a blessing, you know. You've got talented people like Nathan and Ben and Alex, you know, who are always helping out. You've got this marvellous couple here who are growing the church by other means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could go on. I really could talk about everybody, but I don't think that's where God wants us to go. But every person is unique, and every individual brings something when they come, or brings something when we meet together. It's so important that we've got that message from God, that everybody counts. Amen. It would be the only reason that I would ban preaching on a Sunday, is that it looks like one person is up the front so much. You know, but God is speaking to us all. Remember, Sunday mornings is a testing place for you to be comparing what God has said to you with what's being said here. Because if we're all listening to God, we'll all be getting much the same thing. God just gives me an authority to bring it with, like, the final word. I have an authority to bring the correction, if you like. Hallelujah. But then I'm in submission so others can bring correction to me. And that's the way God's kingdom works. It's brilliant. Hallelujah. If we all do it properly, it's not a problem. Hallelujah. It's when we don't do it properly, it's a little problem. Anyway, so don't come to this church. Be the church. Well, God also told us to do nothing. At some point, at this point, some people are getting really excited. Hallelujah. Do nothing, but do everything in Christ. Because it's Him working through us. In this coming year, you know, this faith, to your faith add virtue. How are we going to see this explosion of power, of miracles, of glory, of joy, of love, by allowing Christ to come through us? We should look at what's coming up and think, can't do that. Because if you think you can do it, you're on the wrong foot. We should be looking ahead at whatever God is saying, I can't do it. Because if we can, we're going to fail. We'll have a nice little church that could be happy and it could be clappy. But it won't be what God wants us to do. That's why usually here there's a challenge with a message. Don't get comfortable here. Don't get comfortable. The seats are quite nice, but don't get comfortable. There should always be that sense of God's moving us on, the sense of adventure. You can't have a comfortable adventure. You know? The only adventure you can have that's comfortable is if you're sitting in a chair playing a computer game, and that's not real. Hallelujah. We've got a real adventure to take part in. God said, don't be like Jesus was. Don't be like Jesus was, because there's a scripture, 1 John 4, 1:17, I think, that says, as He is, so are we in the world. Don't look to how Jesus was, especially as a baby in a manger that you get at Christmas time, but as He is now, so are we in the world now. And I tell you what, He is victorious, so we are victorious. Amen. He has power, so we have power. Hallelujah. He is sinless, so we can walk in sinlessness. Oh, that's awesome. We don't think about that one very often. Yeah? Because he rules, we rule. Amen. What powerful stuff God has been saying to us when you put all these things together. One morning I asked you, what can I offer you? What can I offer you as your pastor? The answer was, nothing. Okay, what can I offer you as becoming part of this church? Nothing. Nothing. But in Christ you have everything. Because the Father said to the elder son in the story of the prodigal son, everything I have is yours. Don't come to church for anything. Don't come to the pastor for anything. Don't even when you're in your groups of friends, try and draw from them. Draw from the Lord. Get your relationship first with him and the other things will work out. It's not that we don't need one another. We do need one another and we do live one another and we do love one another and we do encourage one another and we do spur one another on. But our dependence is on the Lord. Amen. And that way, when that happens, when somebody else upsets you, it doesn't matter as much as if you're getting your identity and your purpose in this church from that. Don't ever belong to Kingdom Faith Church Yorkshire. Belong to Jesus. And because you belong to Jesus, then get involved with what God is doing. Amen. Because when you get your security from belonging to a church, when the church changes, you'll suddenly feel like, oh, I don't know where we're going to go. Because this church will constantly change. You know, we're praying in a building. God's going to give us a building at some time. He hasn't given us a timescale yet. You know, but don't be dependent on seeing a building for your belief. Or you could fail. Because we might get a building next year. It might be that God has given us a vision for a building and we won't get it for 22 years. It happens. But will you stay there because your trust is in him or because your trust is in a church? Yeah? You never know with God, really. It's very rare that you know the time scale of his promises. You're just thinking, you hope Jackie doesn't know it's 22 years. Hallelujah. I do know it will be in God's timing. You know, and it might be the building Donna's boss is trying to lease. It might not be. Who knows? Maybe it would be Woolworths. They're moving out. I mean, down the road. Hallelujah. So, what can I offer you? Nothing, but in Christ you have everything. A God in, I don't know if you remember then, and that's when God showed us that the scars and the wounds that you have, that you've taken as you've lived the life, are not hurts to be carried, but badges to be worn. Yeah. There's something to say, look, this was when I laid down my life for this, or this was when I was serving God in this way. They are actually things you can wear. This, you're supposed to be wounded as you follow the walk of God. There are going to be things, you know, Bernard Gilpin got his leg broken. I wonder if afterwards, could be in 16th century, did it set right? Did he forever after that? This is speculation, not history. Maybe he walked with a slight limp. That was a badge. That was a medal of honour because he believed and trusted in the word. And as a result, he became known as Apostle of the North and he preached the gospel in the North. He preached the word of that you can have a relationship with God now. He was amazing. Then God gave us Job 22:28. You remember that? I don't know if you do. You shall decide and decree a thing. You remember? And it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favour shall shine upon you. You shall declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favour shall shine upon you. I'm not going to go back into that teaching, but what are you decreeing at the moment? Or has it sort of got in the forgotten sermon pile? What are you decreeing of God at the moment? You guys, are you decreeing revival at Scarborough Campus? Are you speaking it out? Because the Lord says here, you shall decide, right, we'll have a revival here then, and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. That's awesome. That is awesome. He's not king, you know. Jesus is not king. He's the King of Kings. He's not Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. He's not even peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's not a way. He's the way. He's not a truth. He is the truth. He's not a life. He is the life. He's not just a priest. He is our great high priest in heaven. And he's not just a healer. He is the Lord who heals you. We have an awesome God. Amen? Have you ever heard the story of Larry Walters? You probably haven't. It's a bit of an obscure one. Larry Walters was a guy And his weekend life consisted of drinking 6 packs of Pepsi, which I suppose is better than some other 6 packs, 6 packs of Pepsi, sitting in his deck chair in the garden, eating peanut butter and jam sandwiches, or I suppose, as it's an American story, it would have been peanut butter and jelly. Eating peanut butter and jam sandwiches, sitting in his deck chair, and just he just liked to look at the houses around him. That was it. Well, unsurprisingly, he did start to get a little bit bored, did Larry, of this experience. This is one of, a true story. And he decided he'd like to look down on the houses that were around him. And so his great plan was to get some balloons and fill them with helium and tie them to the deck chair. And that would take him up. But he thought things through. He was going to take a 6-pack of Pepsi with him. He was going to have his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches pre-prepared, because it would be difficult to get off once he was up there. And he would take with him a little air gun so that he could shoot the balloons one at a time so that he could make a controlled descent. Well, he actually got 45 weather balloons. They're big, aren't they? 45 weather balloons. They tied the chair down, and he got his neighbours to help him out with this one. And he got in the chair, and the balloons were all there. He got his 6-pack of Pepsi, and he got his peanut butter sandwiches. And he said to his neighbours, "Okay, when you're ready, just cut the ropes." He said, "I shall go up to about 100 foot, and I can have a good look down and see what's going on." So they cut the ropes, and boom, he went up. He went up to 11,000 feet in his deck chair. There was one other little problem. He lived in Los Angeles near the International Airport. A plane, he went up into the flight path, and the plane that was going past, the pilot radioed in to Los Angeles Airport and said, "I've just gone past the guy in a deck chair." He was ordered to report when he got down because they thought he'd been drinking. Can you imagine being on that plane? Oh, look, dear, there's a guy in a deck chair. What about the gun? He was too busy holding on to the deck chair to be able to use the gun. You would if you were 11,000 feet up. He had a good view of his neighbours, mind you. Hallelujah. Eventually, they actually had to send out helicopters to try and rescue. I don't know. I can't imagine how the balloons reacted with helicopters. I really just don't know how it worked. But eventually they got him down. They had to close Los Angeles International Airport to all flights out and all flights in because of a man in a deck chair. Can you imagine doing it on the announcements? "Due to a flying deck chair, all flights at Los Angeles International Airport are today postponed." Hallelujah. Well, they got him down. And on the ground, of course, the fire rescue were there, the police were there, the TV reporters were there. And it became quite a major event. And one TV reporter said to him, "You know, well, were you scared?" And he apparently just said, "No." "Yeah, right." And so the reporter said to him, "Well, would you do it again?" And he said, "Well, what in the world?" This was the TV reporter. "What in the world made you do it for the first time?" And apparently on the broadcast, you can see him sort of thinking quite hard. And eventually he answered, "Well, I felt I should just do something." Very weird. But, you know, with all that God has given us and speaking to us about being revolutionaries and watching Mr. Bean and everything else, he's not really telling you to watch Mr. Bean, okay? With everything that God is saying to us, that what are you going to do? I don't care. Just do something. Hallelujah. It says here, "You shall decide and decree a thing." Just decide and do it. Just step out and you will see God happen. God do. God happen. God move. You want to see the miraculous in everyday life? You want to see that? Then you'll have to do something. That's all it is. Do something. Hallelujah. And if you think that's unbiblical, I shall show you where flying in balloons is in the Bible. No. Hallelujah. I will show you where just do something is in the Bible, and I will show you the result of just do something. I could say just do it, but Nike got there before me. In fact, don't just do something. do something amazing. Because when you step out in God, it's going to be amazing. For so long, the church has been squashed. It's had a Vicar of Dibley mentality. You know, we're just small, we're just little, we'll just get on. We're not small. We've got this great big God standing behind us. We've got an enormous Holy Spirit filling us and expanding around us. We've got the heavenly host on our side. We're enormous. I don't know how we fit in these chairs. I've gone to Philemon, in case you haven't, you know, sort of spiritually discerned it. It's on page 1161. But as this is a large print edition, it probably won't make much difference to you lot. Oh no, I've admitted it. Oh, well, so I don't have to keep putting my glasses on and off while I'm speaking. Anyway, let's have a look at Philemon 4. I always thank my God. This is Paul writing to this chap called Philemon, who he calls a dear friend. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Now, okay, there's two crucial things there. Faith and love. He's heard about them. And it's interesting how Paul immediately wants to sort of develop that, because he says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. You can have all the faith you want. You can have all the love you want. But unless you're actually sharing it, you've missed the point. And I don't mean standing on a street corner with a billboard saying, you are going to hell or the end of the world is nigh. So if somebody's particularly called to that, you can have a go. Hallelujah. I'm talking about relating to people and making friends. I'm talking about going down the student bar. Now there's a good message. Not getting drunk, mind you. Hallelujah. I'm talking about going down the nightclubs. We need Christians in the nightclubs. Now some of us are going to stand out a little bit. But there are others amongst us. Get down there. Don't drink all you can drink for £9 at Mansion. But have a good time. Be amongst the people. Yeah? It says here, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. And this is the amazing thing. Who wants to know Jesus? Who wants to know him more? It's the three. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that is in Christ. Some people watch the God Channel or the God Channels thinking that they will get closer to God. They won't, because knowledge puffs up and leads to pride. Some people think that doing Bible study will lead them closer to God. But if you're not careful, knowledge puffs up and leads to pride. Because James also says, if you see the word or you hear the word and don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. Now, I'm really into people studying the word, don't get me wrong. But we take hold of the word and we've got to do something with it. And God has spoken strong words, encouraging words, active words into the life of our church over this sort of autumn, summer into winter. And we've got to take hold of them and just do something. You say, well, what if it's not what God says? He'll tell you. But we don't sit around thinking, one day, God will give me a divine calling. He's given you a divine calling. There's a book full of your divine calling. Just do something. Do something amazing. And you will actually find that you'll get what you wanted, which is closer to Jesus. That's the promise of the Bible. As you actually do it, he becomes more of a reality. Why do some people sort of wander away from God and slowly dry up and shrivel away? They say usually that something happens and they take one step back. They stop going to church. They stop meeting with their Christian friends. And they certainly don't talk to people about the Lord in any circumstances. And slowly that relationship becomes drier and drier and more distant. And they say, God doesn't seem real to me anymore. Well, then do something. Remember, the best time to sing hallelujah is when you don't want to. When you're broken, like Leonard Cohen's song says. Sing hallelujah when you're at rock bottom. Sing hallelujah when you're on the top of the mountain. Sing hallelujah when you're in the middle. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and live a life praising him. This morning's message, just do something deep, meaningful. Just do something. It could be Richard's title. Just do something. Amen? That's quiet and unusual for me. Hallelujah. Let's have the worship team up, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.